Hello to the world from Plano, Texas, Water of Life Ministries, 1 p.m. in Plano, Texas, Central Daylight Time. So, if you're awake or asleep, you'll be awake shortly if you're asleep. I want to say hello to Steady and all of our friends in Zimbabwe, in Harare. Last night's broadcast, you'll want to watch it as soon as you get your live stream operating. And this one, two of them. We're talking about miracles that God did in the 1970s, 80s, 90s, and 2000 through this ministry. I've been to Africa. I know your faith. I know you like the power of God. I've watched you, a lot of you. So the power will be flowing through this broadcast to you. And that power, when it hits you, that anointing will be there to destroy the yoke, to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Amen. So, enjoy it. Bob Carpenter is going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 13 verses. And in it, it talks about perfecting that which is lacking in your faith. That's what I'll be ministering and talking about. And just to wake you up a little, we're going to be sharing some miracles in horses. For those of you that don't know anything about me, I was a veterinarian and had a pretty nice equine practice throughout America. And I watched God do some real miracles in horses. We're going to be talking about primarily horses today, miracles, God healing them. Oh, that will wake you up. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I don't care what you believe. I didn't either. No, I didn't believe at all. You're going to hear a testimony today how much I didn't believe when God talked to me, and God's talking through me now to you. Bob Carpenter, you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
Verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith.
That's Paul talking.
Right.
And he stayed in Athens, but he sent them. He wanted to know how they were doing. Let's move on.
Verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto.
Afflictions of Paul and Timotheus, right. Not the people that he's writing to. I have great afflictions, and don't let it bother you. Thank God. Next.
For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain.
Did you get that? Tempter tempt them and their labor be in vain. Happened to many in 04, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 2000, and 10, 11, 12, 13. I had to stop there and count. But my tribulations bugged many, and they fainted. The tempter got you, but those that stayed have been greatly blessed. Let's move on.
Verse 6. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith.
faith in people that you've taught comforts me in my tribulations. Your faith. Oh, I love to talk to somebody that's got some faith. It encourages me. You know what I don't like? I don't like when the devil is pounding me with all that God will allow him to have somebody else bring their troubles to me. That's when I have to be strong. But what I like is somebody with faith and start talking to me. Faith, you know? Oh, I don't mind your troubles. I deal with them. But I love people with faith. I like to hear them talk better. Next.
Verse 8. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith.
What verse is that?
10.
10, okay. Go ahead.
Verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Last verse. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints.
That's the purpose of our ministry, is to establish you by imparting spiritual gifts to you. And your mutual faith and mine will establish you through miracles, healings, etc. I want to begin by saying I was a practicing veterinarian from 1962 to 1970 at my own hospital, and brought in a partner and another person. God told me to sell out in 69, and I did January 2nd, 70. Within a very few weeks, I saw God do miracles in my life through me to other people. I was amazed at some of the things God did. But first, let me tell you, I was born again as a young boy. Born again, received Jesus as a young boy. But in 1970, July 24th, sitting in bed at midnight, I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and started speaking in other tongues. And with that baptism in the Holy Spirit brought forth the manifestations of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernings of spirits, gift of faith, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, gifts of healings, and the working of miracles. The anointing that God put on me, that came forth. The anointing brought those, all nine of those gifts forth. That was God's choice. It wasn't mine. It wasn't my righteousness nor my holiness, because I had neither. I shared in last night's broadcast about healings that took place in my family. My wife, my father who went to heaven in 96, and my daughter who was present here last night and is now. And this all took place when I was still practicing veterinary medicine. God was teaching me, showing me miracles, healings, dealing with my unbelief. So let me tell you, folks, don't condemn yourself if you don't believe. Gird up your loins and accept it. I have a friend sitting right here, don't I?
Yes.
One day she said to me, "How do you expect us to believe when you're always telling us we don't?" And I kind of like that kind of an attitude. Well, how are you going to believe unless you find out you don't? Oh, change your life, didn't it?
Absolutely.
See? So everything I say, Bob, is not to hurt anybody. Amen. Although it does hurt. Oh, you hurt my feelings. You know, I mean well. Yeah, that's your problem. The devil means well, too. Only he can perform. So these miracles started taking place in my life, and I had a large horse practice in the United States. It just so happened I worked on lame horses, and I did quite a bit of obstetrical work in a brood mare. And I'm not boasting, but I had some good success. But in 1973, just west of here, about 40, 50 miles, a man called me with a thoroughbred mare that was trying to foal. She was a large mare. If I'm talking to any veterinarians, I'd be surprised if I'm not, or any horse people that know anything about this. She was a large mare, and she had a huge abdominal cavity, swayed down. And this foal was turned, head twisted around, and the only way that you could deliver this baby was to take that head up, over, the neck twist, bring it down, if there's room to make that turn. I turned quite a few. This was a large foal. I'll go over that again for you veterinarians that don't know how to do this. But that neck's twisted and that head's twisted, and you've got to take it down and up and twist that neck at the same time. If there's not enough room, you got problems. Lord Jesus. So I was standing there. It was a warm day. Texas gets warm, and I was thinking, you know, I don't know if I could do a C-section, a cesarean on this mare, and save her because of her anatomical structure. I wasn't sure that I could be successful. And I was just trying to decide whether I should do the C-section and maybe lose the mare, or euthanize the foal and take it out in pieces. Called an embryotomy. And if I save the foal, if the mare dies and I save the foal, then I have a baby foal that's got to have a nurse mother. They're hard to handle. But it's done. I will give you a little tip. If you got a baby foal, and the mother died, and you got the courage and not hold me responsible, if you'll get a mother cow for it, the foal will probably do well. So I was standing there with my hand on the chest of that foal, considered, and the Lord said. You there, Bob?
Yes.
The Lord said, have you considered praying? Praying. I didn't know what to pray for. If you don't know how to pray, you got trouble, huh? And if you don't believe that God could deliver that bowl, you got greater problems. But God is merciful, and He is gracious, and He is long-suffering, and He's abundant in goodness and truth. And I thought, well, I believe this is God talking. Have you considered praying? And I had, frankly, I was exhausted physically. I'd done everything I could, everything I knew. And I thought, I'm going to pray. Now listen to me. I didn't know what to pray. But the Father talked to me. And I had my hand on the chest of that bowl. I said, Father, that bowl turned every direction. Legs kicked, neck twisted, head straight. And right there, being entering the sunlight was 2 feet with a bull's head and his lower jaw lying perfectly in position for those two bulls. One shoulder was back just a little, just right, lying there about 4 to 6 inches outside of the mother's vaginal cavity. I took my hands on those two legs. That bowl fell into my hand. Now, this sounds great to you. Dominion, I am an embarrassed veterinarian. You remember why I was embarrassed? No, I don't want to do that to you. The owner said, my God, what a good doctor. Now, you know why I was embarrassed? I had an opportunity to tell this man what happened. This man owned a roofing company in Fort Worth. Had some pretty good thoroughbred horses. I said, sir, I've got to tell you something. And I did. I said, Jesus delivered that baby. I didn't have anything to do with it. He said, how much money do I owe you? I said, well, I will get you an invoice. I don't want a bill. I don't want nothing. Just tell me, how much money do you want? This man was so overpowered by the miracle. He was as overpowered as I was. You know that? He couldn't believe it. Mary's fine. Paul's fine. Gave me cash. Please, I can take care of everything. You know, 1 year later, a man drove in my driveway. And I saw him. I thought, I think this is a guy that had the thoroughbred mare that God delivered a pole for. He walked up to me. He said, Doc, I know you are an honest man. You know why he knew I was honest? Anybody want to guess? I told him who delivered that pole. That was a testimony to him. He said, I got another problem, and I think you can help me. Let me tell you, you read the 5th chapter of Luke, and Jesus had been in the boat teaching, and Peter had been fishing all night. And you know what happened? Jesus said to Peter, if you'd cast right over there, he said, Master, I've been toiling all night. Nevertheless, and he cast the nets where the Lord told him to, and they got such a draw of fishes that the two boats began to sink. And Jesus, through the power of God, had overwhelmed Peter. Peter fell to his knees. Depart from me, O Lord. I am a sinful man. You know, I was worse than sinful, Bob. One prideful equine practitioner that had his share of success in 8 short years. But I spent 2 weeks, 2 weeks thinking. Could that have been a coincidence? You believe me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you do? I tell you, this happens to be my granddaughter, one of them.
Yeah, I'm here. Mom's here, too.
What?
Mom's here, too.
Oh, your mother. Well, my daughter's here, too. She knows how hard-hearted I was. I'll tell you, folks, that changed my life. Did you know I'm not a bit sorry that I was that hard, that unbelieving? You know what the Lord demonstrated to me? His love. That he would give me 2 weeks to think. Consider all that I knew. All that I knew professionally. And finally say, that has to be God. Well, do you know who convinced me of that? God. I think I've got one more short testimony, and then I think we ought to worship God, don't you? I don't think we can improve on this one. I was working one day on some property that I'd bought over in Denton County, Texas, just west of up here, about 50 miles, 40, 50. And I was working on a fence. And the Lord said to me, "Isn't it amazing that people don't think I know what I'm doing?" I said, "Oh, yes, Lord. Patty, my wife, and Kathy, my daughter." Did you know, an hour or two later, maybe three, he convinced me of my sin. I said, "Oh my God, you're talking to me, aren't you? That I don't that I don't think you know what you're doing." A little more repentance, Bob. A little more pride went down the drain. But God loves us. So I know that there will be people that will be changed by what you have just heard.